Turn to Romans chapter 9. I thought in singing that song, How Great Thou Art, and he spoke of the thunder rolling. Did you hear that thunder last night rolling? I thought of God. I thought of what Job said, the thunder of his voice. And I thought, God is speaking. Remember we read the other night, God speaks once, yea, twice, man perceives it not. Most perceive that to be a thunderstorm. God's children perceive it to be God speaking. Not just a weather pattern going through. I know it's weather. It's God's weather. It's God's weather. The tornadoes that went through here recently, they are God's tornadoes. He hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm. They are his. And everything, as I said in the Bible class, everything that in creation has a spiritual application, and it should always lead us to Christ and to looking to him and thinking upon him. Just as that song, How Great Thou Art, the mountains. You know, I was watching something last night. But anyway, it was showing a wilderness area and this huge mountain. And I thought, God made that. That mountain is of God. He's the God of the mountains and he's the God of the valleys. It's all his. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and they who dwell therein. Everything is his. Something struck me the other day when I was reading in Revelation. And the Lord was sending plagues. And that's the reason I made a little note in the bulletin about it. But I was reading it, and every plague came from heaven. Every one of them. There was, and as I read that, I thought, there is absolutely nothing that's not under the control of our God. I couldn't sleep at night if I didn't. Well, if I could, it's because I'm dead. But to know that God is in absolute control gives me comfort. I don't lose sleep. I don't. It's very comforting. That song was it meant something to me more than usual this morning because I've been thinking about it along those lines and that storm that went through and I heard that thunder, I was thinking of the thundering of his voice. I thought, that's God speaking. That's a voice of God. All right, let's get to the message. It might have been the message, but sometimes a message is just 5 minutes long and the rest of it just, I don't want to say fillers, but it is. I'm trying, you know, I've noticed, and I'm doing it now. I've noticed I'm starting to go too long. I've noticed I'm starting to, and I'm thinking, you know, once a person passes 30 minutes, he's pretty much out of what he knows. And he's into the area of just talking. For me. That doesn't apply to everybody, but for me it does. After about 30 minutes, I need to shut up. I've learned that. Now watch me go 40. Okay, I've already spent 5 of it here, so. Let's look at this. I think we closed off in the latter part of this chapter a couple weeks ago around verse 25. But what we see here is this, that God has a people, and he has a people all over this world. The scripture teaches us that God has a people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation under heaven. There is no nation on this earth that God has not saved a people out of. No nation. And the Gentiles have a big part in that. You know, the Jews believed, and this is what Paul's going to deal with here, they believed that the Gentiles had no part. They had no part. But God has a people among the Gentiles as well as the Jews. And he says, and Paul says there in verse 28, that the Lord is going to make a short work upon the earth and He's going to cut it short in righteousness. Our Lord walked on this earth for what, 33 years? And in those 33 years, what did He do? He produced a righteousness. He produced a righteousness by which you and I can be saved. He produced the righteousness by which sinners are saved. And then He would die on the cross and He's gone back to glory. And in 70 AD, they leveled that place over there in Jerusalem. They leveled it. The temple and all, they just leveled it. And I believe that has the first reference to that. But also, if you compare time to eternity, the work that the Lord is making upon this earth, and it's a righteous work, it's short. It's short. If it goes another 1,000 years, it's short. If it went another 10,000 years, what is that to eternity? It's short. No matter how long it goes, when it finally ends, it's short. You know, I'm 65 years old. Where did all that time go? How did I get here so fast? My dad turned 90. He's like, how'd this happen? It's like it jumped on my back and I can't get it off. How did it happen? It's just like that. It's gone. It's over. It seems like when you're a kid growing up, it's just like forever. It's just like it's just forever before I was going to get to drive. And then it was forever before I was going. And now look at me. I'm trying to put the brakes on. It's just, it goes by. It's short. It's just short. And a short work will the Lord make upon the earth, and He's going to cut it short in righteousness. It's a righteous work that He's doing. And He says here in verse 29, He said, Isaiah said this. Since He refers him back to the Old Testament. You know, it's so wise to always refer back to the Word of God. We have no reason and nothing to believe if it does not come straight from the Word of God. And He says here, as Isaiah said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth, that is the Lord of hosts, that's what that means. If He had not left us a seed, we would have been as Sodom and been made like unto Gomorrah. They don't know. That place is gone. It's wiped out. It's burned up. And He said, if God had not left us a remnant, Israel would have been destroyed. He said, nobody would be saved. No one would be saved if God did not have a remnant. If God did not have a people, no one would be saved. And that's what He's saying here to these people in Rome and to the Jews that are in this church. If it hadn't been for the Lord of hosts having mercy and grace on some sinners here in Israel, which Paul was an Israelite, Peter, all the apostles were Jews. He said, if it hadn't been for the grace of God, we'd all perished. We wouldn't believe either. We wouldn't believe the gospel. So, in conclusion of this, He says here, how shall we conclude in verse 30? What shall we say then? Or how shall we conclude this matter? What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith. They have attained to righteousness. They stand before God righteous. You and I, who believe the gospel, we stand before God perfectly righteous, perfectly holy. That's how we stand in God's sight. How did we attain to that? Through believing God. That's how we attain to it. We didn't do one thing. Let me tell you something. Faith and repentance did not make me righteous. They are the evidence of life. It's the evidence of the work of God. It is Christ who made me righteous. He made me righteous. And when through the work of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, through the new birth, through regeneration, I believe the gospel. And the righteousness of that man, Jesus Christ, who kept the law perfectly, is imputed to me. It's reckoned to me. It's laid to my charge. And he said, that's what the Gentiles, they followed after Christ. God sent the gospel to them and they believed. How shall we answer? That's why he said, how shall we answer this matter of the Gentiles being saved and for the most part, most of those Jews perished? Well, first of all, here's what we say. We say the truth. We don't take the edge off from it. We tell the truth. God's not going to save by a lie. Would you rather me tell you the truth this morning or lie to you? You want the truth because God saves by the truth. I thank God, no matter how painful the truth is, no matter how devastating it may be to me, I thank God He tells it to me. Don't you? I'm glad He tells me. None good, no, not one. I'm glad He said not one, because I'm the one that's not good. For a long time, I believe, you know, first time I made a profession when I was 20 years old. My dad went to church, when my dad pastored a church for a number of years. And I had to go, and when he quit making me go, I never went again. And then when I was 20, I made a profession. And I told my brother, he said, you're a sinner saved by grace. I said, no, I used to be a sinner. I'm not one now. Well, 3 years later, I found out I was. And 3 years later, I found out what it was to be lost. I was lost. I mean, the GPS couldn't have got me back. Because I was lost. You know, one time I made reference to a time that I was hunting up in the mountains of West Virginia, and I did get lost. A snowstorm came, and I said, I didn't know where I was at. And I was trying to make a comparison between that and being lost. No, being lost as a sinner is in darkness. That's a different loss than taking the wrong direction down the road. I mean, it's lost in darkness, lost in ignorance, lost. I mean, you're so lost, you don't know straight up. And all you can do is say, Lord, be merciful to me, the sinner. That's like that sinner in the gospel, smoting upon his breast, so lost that all he could say was, be merciful to me, the sinner. Unlike that Pharisee said, I'm glad I'm not like that guy. I'm glad I'm not like other men. What he didn't realize, he's worse than other men. Self-righteousness is the worst of all. You can pick any sin, and self-righteousness is the worst. It's the one sin that robs God of His glory. Drunkenness does not rob God of His glory. Self-righteousness does. Now, drunkenness may rob your home of its money and of its parents, but I tell you what, self-righteousness, it's an affront on God. It's an affront on God. So how do we answer this? Well, first of all, we tell the truth. Lying's not going to change anything. You know, lying doesn't change a thing. You know, me not liking something doesn't change it. Me liking it or not liking it, it is what it is. And lying doesn't change it. So how is it the Gentiles have obtained righteousness, a right standing with God? And the answer is just this. Faith. They believed God. They heard the gospel and they believed. That's what salvation comes down to. It comes down to the fact that I believe God. I take sides with God. I believe God. I believe God concerning who God is. I believe God concerning who Jesus Christ is. I believe God concerning who and what I am. You know, repentance. You know what repentance is? Repentance is more than just feeling bad over some things you've done. Because there's a lot of things you've not done you should, and you should feel bad over. Here's what repentance is. It's changing the way you think of God. When John the Baptist came, and he was preaching repentance, he was not just saying, you need to repent of things you've stolen and things you've this. No, change the way you think of God. Change the way you think of who God is. Look over I'm going to get ahead of myself, but over in chapter 10. Paul says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal of God. They're very zealous of God. But not according to knowledge. Not according to the scriptures. They had the scriptures, but they were ignorant of them. That's what the Lord said to one of the Pharisees. You're ignorant of the power of God in the scriptures. Listen, for they being ignorant of God's righteousness, of anyone that should not have been ignorant, it was them. But they were ignorant of God's righteousness. They didn't know God. They did not know who He was. And because of that, they went about to establish a righteousness of their own, and they would not submit themselves to the righteousness of Christ. They refused it. They refused to do so. But back here, the Gentiles obtained righteousness through faith. God sent the gospel to them. They believed as Abraham believed. You know, they made such a big deal of Abraham, but they never looked at the scene or the all that surrounded Abraham. Israel wasn't called Israel until Jacob came along. And God changed Jacob's name to Israel. Then He had the 12 patriarchs. And then they broke off and they made up Israel. Abraham was an idolatrous man. He was in idolatry. God called him out of idolatry. God made Himself known to him. God promised him a seed. And that seed that He promised was Jesus Christ. Isaac was a picture of the seed. And that seed that He spoke of to Abraham was the same seed that He spoke of back in the garden after the fall when He said the seed of the woman. It's the same seed. And He said, through your seed shall all nations be blessed. That seed is Jesus Christ. And that blessing is that the gospel has come to all nations. And God has saved the people out of every kindred, tribe, tongue, and nation. And they've all been saved the same way Abraham was saved. Faith. You know, righteousness, it says in Genesis, was accounted to Abraham before he was circumcised, before any of that happened. See, they would receive the sign of circumcision. They believed they were in the covenant. But that Abraham, when righteousness was reckoned to him, it was before any of that. Before the law was given, none of that was given. It was by faith. And all whom God saves, He saved by the same faith that Abraham had. And they missed it. They missed it. I pray God we don't miss it. I don't want to miss it. This righteousness by which God saves sinners is received by faith. It's imputed through faith. The Gentiles did not seek acceptance with God by work. They sought it by faith. They just believed God. They believed the gospel when it came to them. Some did. Not all of them, but some did. God sent the gospel to them and they believed and it was imputed to them for righteousness. This is how God saves everyone whom He saved from the first one to the last one. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It starts with faith and it'll end with faith. Turn over to Hebrews 11. I saw this morning. Let's see if I can point it out to you. Now I want you to notice each one of these here that he speaks of are men that he saved, men and women whom he has saved. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Verse 5, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He was not found because God had translated him. For before this translation, he had this testimony, he pleased God. But now explains this. It explains what it's saying in verse 6. For without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and he must believe him that is. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should afterward receive for an inheritance, obeyed. He went out, not knowing where he was going. Can you imagine? Here, Abraham is an idolater. He's in the land of the Chaldeans. And he comes home one day, and he says, Sarah, pack your bags. God has revealed himself to me. Well, she didn't know God either. It's like, I mean, you know, what are you talking about? I mean, we've been worshiping this whatever, you know, and all of a sudden you come in here and God? Who is this God? But the scripture's silent on that, and she followed him. And they packed their bags, and whatever it was he was doing there and making a living, he just packed his bags and left, not knowing where he was going. But he believed God. He believed God, and he was heir of the righteousness of faith. And by faith he sojourned, in verse 9, by faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Are we, by that same faith, this is exactly what we are doing. We are looking for that city whose builder and maker is God. This is not home. This is not home. I'm going home. We are going home. This is not home. And then it says in verse 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. And they were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. That's what we are. Verse 17, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figure. Remember, Christ said, Abraham saw my day and was glad he understood it. Abraham understood the gospel. He understood substitution. By faith, verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Verse 22, by faith Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel, gave commandment concerning his bones. Verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 31, by faith Rahab the harlot. The harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not, when she had received the spies of peace. Now listen, verse 39. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. And here's why. God, having provided some better thing for us, they were not going to be there without us. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all those whom God saved in the Jewish race, They were not going to be saved without us. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. This is the whole purpose of God he's talking about. And all of it was by faith. None of it was by works. And he points out to the Old Testament saints that they held in high esteem. And he says they all died in faith. They all walked by faith. They lived by faith. They didn't live by their works, which they were trying to do at that time. They were keeping the law. But Israel, in verse 31, which followed after the law of righteousness, they pursued righteousness by the law, by keeping the law. You know, God said, gave the law, and they said, we'll do it. They said, we'll do it. We'll keep it. What's evident, they didn't know themselves and they didn't know God. They were ignorant of God's righteousness. They were ignorant of the exact righteous character of God. And they said, yeah, we keep that law. Well, what? No problem. Well, it was a problem. They made a calf. They had Aaron to make a calf before Moses got down off the hill, off the mountain. And they made a golden calf, and they was dancing, and they was having a wild time. I mean, a wild time. They were being just who they were, exactly what they were doing. They were being just who they were. And these are the very ones who said, yeah, we keep that law. That righteous law, that law that demands absolute obedience to perfection. Yeah, we keep it. That's why they never attained righteousness. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. You know that. If God has saved you, you know you can't do it. That's why you flee to Jesus Christ. That's why you flee to Him for mercy and for grace and for salvation and for help. For help. That's why they couldn't attain to it. They failed to attain that righteousness. They sought it because they sought it by works, the same way, listen, that Cain did. Abel brought a more excellent sacrifice because it represented Jesus Christ. And it's the sacrifice God said to offer. Cain brought the works of his hands. I believe it was Scott Richards that said, you can't get blood out of a turnip. And there has to be blood. There's got to be blood. But Cain brought no blood. And it really came down to this. It came down to this. They went through the ceremonies without faith. It says their works were not, in Hebrews chapter 4, it says that faith was not mixed with works in them that heard. They offered the sacrifice, but they didn't see Christ. They offered the sacrifice, they didn't see redemption in Jesus Christ. Some did, but most didn't. And they offered it without heart. It was just like, this is what you, it's like most people on Sunday. What do most people do on Sunday? They just go to church. We came here to worship. We came here to worship and we came here to tell the truth on God. To glorify God. Not to just go to church because it's Sunday. But that's how they went through the ceremonies. It was just a ceremony. This is not a ceremony. This is a worship service. And the reason they were rejected, he says there in verse 32, the reason they didn't obtain this righteousness, because they sought it not by faith. As Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all those others that we just read about, they sought it by faith. They believed God and they followed Him. They did not believe God. They believed they could produce a righteousness that God would accept. And here's what they had a problem with. They had a problem with reconciling His righteousness with their righteousness. It's like, why do I need His? It's like, why do I need, if I have a full cup of water here, why do I need more water in it? I've got my own water, thank you. And that was their attitude. I have my own righteousness. We're going to stand before God because that gives you boasting. That gives you rights to boast. If you have a righteousness, you can stand before God. But the Scripture says no flesh is going to boast in His presence. The only one we're going to boast about is Jesus Christ. We're going to boast about Him. They sought it not by faith, but as it were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. It was always before them. Christ was always before them. But they stumbled at Him. And when He came, they saw Him. They said, we know You. You're the carpenter's son. You're not the Messiah. You're not, a Messiah wouldn't look like that. It wouldn't look like He looked. They were expecting some great looking champion, coming in on a white steed and just take it over. They didn't expect a poor carpenter's son. They didn't expect a man that looked like Jesus Christ. A root out of dry ground. No beauty that we should desire Him. That's what it says Isaiah 53. That's not what they were looking for. They had Isaiah 53. They've read it a lot. And Isaiah said, this is this tender plant, this is how He's coming. The Ancient of Days is going to become an Infant of Days. And He's going to grow up as a tender plant. And like a root out of dry ground, He has no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, we're not going to desire Him for His beauty. You don't think they could have looked at him and looked at this? Apart from the Spirit of God, blind people can't see, deaf people can't hear, and dead people can't. They can't do anything. They stumbled at Jesus Christ. And here's what they really stumbled at the most. His message. His message. Grace for the guilty. They said, "We be not sinners." That's what they need. We be not sinners. Don't call me a sinner. That's what I said to my brother. I was one. I'm not one now. I am one, and I'll be that way all the way to the grave. That part's not going to change. I struggle with sin more now than I did 40 years ago. I find it rising up in me now more than 40 years ago. I do. But thank God for the rest of this verse. I lay in Zion a stumbling stone, a rock of offense. It offends a lot of people, but whosoever believes on him shall not be ashamed. Do you believe? It's not, you're waiting on a feeling? You're waiting to feel like you're saved? You're waiting to feel like it's something? Don't trust feelings. They come and go. Depends on what it's like when you get up in the morning. They just come and go. But I tell you this, I believe God. I believe God. He said, "Come to me, all you that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest." I believe that. Lord, I come. I come. I believe that. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's so simply put, but impossible without God doing a work. Because the scripture says that we love darkness rather than light. We love darkness rather than light. I thank God that there's a remnant. God knows. Elijah said, "I'm the only one left." You ever feel like that? "I'm the only one left." And God said, "Hold on now. I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed their knee to Baal. I have reserved. I kept." It's just like the elect angels. It speaks in Hebrews of innumerable company of angels. He reserved them. He kept them. And out of this human race, God has kept the people. He's going to keep, and they're sinners. I say to every sinner, look to the Lord Jesus Christ. I have the authority of God's word. Christ died for sinners. He didn't die for anybody else. He did not die for anyone else. He died for sinners. It just takes the Holy Spirit to make a man a sinner. Or a woman. Until then, we've just got all the excuses under heaven. "Well, I'm not that bad. I'm not this. I'm not that." So what? And Christ didn't die for you. You say, I'm a sinful. "Lord, I'm a sinful man." Peter said, "Lord, depart from me. I'm a sinful man." I died for you. I died for sinners.